Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I'm so grateful you could be with me on this 11th day of February 2024. We're going to be looking at an interesting question, kind of taking off from yesterday about emotions. And this comes from a listener who has been listening for about a good year or so, kind of has caught on to some of the things I try to offer on the website at aspire.org here. So she asked me not to use her name, so I'm not going to. I don't know where she lives. Yes, I do. California. That's the best I can do. So she goes into a tirade in her email of all the things that she's afraid of. And, of course, she wants to blame her mother and father for the fear thing. So she asks in her email to talk about on this podcast, why do I fear everything? I am afraid of my own shadow, she says. Well, and then she goes on to say how she was raised. You know, our rearing, how we were raised, does have a lot to do with how we live our life and how we deal with our fears. The first thing that parents, I think, install in our brain is the installation of some sort of fearful consequence that could happen. How will you make it? How will you survive? You've got to find out what you are interested in. You've got to learn how to live in this world. And the level of ruthlessness that is involved in any of this oftentimes becomes very contrary to a person's true and authentic nature. So what happens is these people become very ensconced in their fears and intimidated by them, and that's the way they live, through intimidation. Now, I think this intimidation thing lives very strongly in human beings. I find that most human beings are easily intimidated by many aspects of what they believe in, what they don't believe in, what they think is right and wrong, good and bad, all of that good stuff. The intimidation comes in saying to themselves or making up a narrative that, oh, if I don't do this, terrible things are going to happen. So let's talk a little bit about living from fear. It's very gratifying. It seems that most of the people I have worked with in my 50 years of teaching, that they live via the idea of fear, and they're trying to not understand the nature of their fears, but that they want to have their fears work for them. It's gratifying to be afraid. It isn't pleasant, but it's gratifying. And if you really think about it within yourself, if you can do any real self-examination, you will realize that fear is a big part of your enjoyment. In fact, people will pay money to go to a movie to be frightened. Now, you may not be like this as a person. I certainly am not. But the idea that fear can be something that motivates us, as some people will tell me, to do better or to compete with others and win. It brings out that competitive spirit that they so admire. And in that admiration, they think they're doing better than or can do better than by being respectful of their fears. Fear is a biological process. It lives inside of our body as our biology. It has to do with our chemical makeup. It has to do with what we inherited in our body. Please read Behave by Robert Sapolsky. I again go back to that. Or Determined, his newest book about how we have no free will. So if you understand any of these things scientifically, it might help you. I have given these books or asked my students, even my friends, to read the book, any of these books, Homo Deus, Sapiens, Behave by Robert Sapolsky, all these, and it doesn't make a bit of difference, not a bit. And the reason it doesn't make any difference is because they're focused on one thing and one thing alone. And that is, how do I get what I need? How do I get what I want? And if I am using fear in the background, which typically we do, all of us, if we use fear as a subtle background of, if I don't, bad things will happen. If I don't do this, if I do do that, bad things are going to happen. If I do do this and I won't do that, then good things will happen. We have that kind of mentality. And that's not the way life works. Not at all. There is a certain karma that I must realize, recognize, and that I'm here to live out to understand the nature of my being. We have a great matter that is before us, that is within us. And that is, am I going to live from the sense of my inner beingness, or am I going to live via my body and become a heretic living emotionally? Well, most people will live emotionally because it's entertaining, because it's gratifying, because everyone else is doing it, because the body lives separate from ourselves. We follow our body into hell. We do. We follow it into sickness, disease, and we do it in this way, by following what seems to be natural, like falling in love or having children or living a life where we have money and power and prestige. We just follow the body wherever it takes us. If your body doesn't feel good, are you having a good day? No, I'm not having a good day. My body hurts, or this or that. We follow the body. And the body, it can be a scary thing, because the body is all about hormones. And if you don't understand hormones, if you went to school and you took those science courses and you didn't realize what you were really studying, which was the amalgamation of your future, then you missed. You really missed. I have students who will come to me, and people who I counsel just, you know, to help them with their meditations and such. And they say things like, you know, it's surprising to me how I am turning into my mother and father, or my mother or my father. And they're surprised. And why are you surprised? You've lived by the body all your life. What'd you think it was? Do you think it was better than your parents or different than your parents? It's a clone of your parents. And now that you kind of get a little bit of the drift of this, what do you want to do with the rest of your life? Are you going to allow the body and your genetics and your impulses, your emotional impulses, to dictate your life? This is why there has to be some discipline. And I use the D word, discipline. It's not a pleasant word. It's not one that most people can do. This is why the world is the way it is, and war and poverty and illness and greed. Boy, is it greedy. And everybody's fighting for their place. They want to be number one. They want to not have to worry. They think money is the answer, blah, 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 blah. All these things are going on all the time. So if you think you're going to overcome your emotions, no. If you are willing to examine where they come from, how they work in you, and then learn to discipline yourself and really realize, oh, I am engaging these things within me, and I'm making them a part of my lifestyle. I'm making decisions from them, making them a part of my lifestyle. I am making them the core of my life, and I am afraid if I don't, my family will reject me. My friends won't like me. And you want to be a part of the pack. Well, then you're going to be a part of the pack, as you mentioned in your little email. So what to do? You're going to have to get involved in something greater than your emotions can deal with. And that is meditation. That is learning how to live in simplicity, solitude, and silence. And that, my friend, is very, very challenging. Anyway, that's why you work on yourself and you have people like myself to help you as much as we can. Anyway, thank you for your beautiful email and all of your questions. And I'll get back to some of them later on this month. And I want to thank my listeners, and I hope you all forgive me, please. Namaste.